Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Which one is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
The second captain's world service.
And I said, I want to win the league, but I want to win it better. You can understand that, can't you?
Yes.
Good lad.
So he's almost like having a second captain in the team.
Second captain, first captain, whatever.
The video last weekend of Shane Walsh being paraded around the Kimble Croaks clubhouse, shoulder high, head bandaged to cover his bloodied ear, trophy in hand, after delivering the Dublin Football Championship to his new club was just too much for some people to bear. Murph, for example, needing a full week off work just to deal with the various ramifications. A week on, another video put out by the Croaks social media of celebrations in Glenalden. This time, the hurlers completed the double-double. The video looks identical to last week's one, just without Shane Walsh in it. Jubilant scenes and a caption that is sure to be greeted warmly by Gaels around the country. A close-knit community in full voice. This is just the start. Hey, Murph.
Wonderful. Again. Hey, Ud, and congratulations to you, a member of that close-knit community.
Am I a member of Chemical Croaks?
Well, I mean, you're a member of the close-knit community. Are you paying your membership fees? Well, I don't think so, Ud. But you are nonetheless a croaker for life.
One club. All that sort of stuff, yeah.
Yep.
And the days when many say you can't do both anymore, Murph. It's got to be football or hurling. Chemical Croaks should be applauded for doing their bit to save the GAA.
Well, congratulations to the two entirely separate men's senior panels that won their county titles this year.
Again, yes.
And let's not forget that they're the women's football county champions this year as well. I like the idea of clubs doing the double. Mm-hmm. I am a fan of clubs doing the double. I mean, if Finbars go on and do it in Cork, they're playing Nemo Rangers this Sunday. You know, I think that's a hell of a story. They haven't done the double. They've only done it twice. They're the only club to have won doubles in Cork. There are a couple of iterations of one club, a hurling club is called a different name to the football club, but they're pulling from the same kind of pool. If Finbars do it on Sunday, I will be, I will applaud that achievement.
But?
Because they've got five players playing on both teams. And then the Catalans would have been playing for...
Catalans.
Although, the Microsoft word will always change Catalan to Catalans. And they'll keep doing it until you tell them. It is Catalan. So I typed it three times. They'd have more than the five if the Catalans played their... See, you got in my head. If they were playing football for Finbars instead of playing football for their father's club an hour and a half away.
They speak their
own
language as well, Ken, the Catalans.
Oh,
yeah. Mm. Fiercely proud, independent minded people, the Catalans within Cork.
I read an interview with their parents a couple of weeks ago. An unbelievable read, actually. There's a lot of driving going on just to ferry all the Catalans to all the trainings that they need to go to. But I digress. I mean, it's a brilliant achievement if you're if there's like 25 or 26 players managing to do both and win both, as Lotmore Castellani did last year. An amazing achievement. But it's just, it seems like if Kilmacow Crokes win the football and the hurling with, I think it was one dual player last year, then they do the double-double and they play the same club in both men's finals Nafina. This year. And Nafina were in the hurling final last year as well. It just kind of seems as if there's a concentration of power there that can't really be amazing. I mean, a lot of clubs, I mean, we the last couple of weeks have been all about county finals, and it seems like there have been quite a few instances where Tour de Strand win 7 in a row. You know, Ballymacarbery win 41 in a row in Waterford.
That's what I was going to say. There was one in Waterford. I was like, this doesn't look great.
Yeah. And that's obviously not amazing. But if there are clubs winning both and going back to back in both, I don't know. I'd just love to see, I'd have loved to have seen a Craig Kieran or someone winning yesterday. It's that's all I'm saying.
Shane Walsh thing obviously didn't. Wouldn't have helped in the minds of a lot of people around the country.
You know my feelings on Shane Walsh. I'm one of the few who happen to think it's...
Yeah, actually, you weren't too bad about that idea.
Well, wasn't too bad. Owen, I was...
You've lost friends back in Galway
I had an extremely awkward conversation last Wednesday night in the front bar in Malarkey's about the whole thing. I wasn't going to mention it.
Oh, no.
Well, it was combination farmers and ladies night in Malarkey's on Wednesday night. So we all know how that was going to go down. See, she doesn't want to open two nights in a row. So, farmers was Wednesday, ladies' night was Thursday.
And how does it work? Tell us about it.
No, I mean, that's all. There's just, it's not a very large pub. At one table, there's farmers, and at the other table, there's ladies.
Where do you fit into all this?
At the bar, old. I'm neither a farmer nor a lady.
Wow, this is more of an insight into rural life than I was imagining I was going to get. What did you feel when you saw Shane Walsh? Because we didn't tell that story last week. We didn't reflect on it in your absence. But he was battered and bruised.
Got a bit of treatment. I think it's fair to say that over the course of the games he's played in the Dublin Championship this year, there have been numerous welcome mats rolled out to Shane Walsh by various
clubs.
Obviously,
Paul Mannion's injury means that he is shouldering more of the responsibility than might otherwise have been the case. Nice to see him get the.
It was. I mean, I've
on a personal level.
There can be little or no doubt about Shane Walsh's ability to deliver on the big stage after 2022 when you think about a Dublin county final and an Ireland final where he could literally have done nothing more for his teams to win ultimate glory. I mean, I thought it was great, and he was the star of the show. He was the undoubted footballer that made the difference on the day. Now, when he stands in front of the TG Carr cameras and says, "I came up from home yesterday." You're just like, "Shin, you know, let's just not mention Galway or home or any of these words whatsoever." It does kind of get you into a little bit of a tangle.
It is a little bit like when you're.
I mean, I say I come up from home.
Yeah.
You know, and like that's fine. Home is still Galway in some rhetorical situations. So I mean, I'm not going to hang him out to dry and say, "Oh, Shane just told us he still lives in Galway or whatever." But I would avoid the words home.
It's a little bit like Galway. When you're watching Irish international matches in various sports and afterwards somebody is interviewed and mentions all the people watching back home, as in the country that they're from, as opposed to them actually being Irish. Yeah, I'm broadly in favour of people throw their lot in here for long enough that just, they should be able to represent the country, of course.
Yeah.
But then when you just think, reminding people of the fact that you didn't originally
come
from the country
might get
certain people thinking certain ways.
But listen, congratulations Shane Walsh, congratulations Kilmacud hurlers, women's footballers and men's footballers. It's been a hell of a year.
It's just a start. What was the line?
This is just the start. And maybe they'll go win the three All-Irelands as well, and who knows?
Poor old Nafina have been mentioned already. A hell of a performance I wanted to point out from the Irish women's boxing team, who topped the medal table at the Women's European Championships in Montenegro. 10 boxers went over, 7 come home with medals, including gold for Amy Broadhurst, Aoife O'Rourke and Kelly Harrington, who are going to be meeting for her book launch later on this week. For Kelly, this European medal completes the set, as she's already a world and Olympic champion. So it's world, Olympic and European champion.
That'll do it.
Yeah. She was injured at the Europeans a few years back, which is the only reason really that she doesn't already have this medal, but she has it now. Broadhurst, this is an interesting one, right? Because Amy Broadhurst is also now a world and European champion at light welterweight, which is not one of the weight classes in play at the Olympics. She's naturally a lightweight, So you think, well, that's fine. She can just qualify at lightweight and win a gold, Olympic gold. Well, there's a slight problem in that that is the weight class of the aforementioned world Olympic and European champion Kelly Harrington. It's what they call a selection headache, I think.
Well, it's
box
it's
off,
sort of
anybody? Really high pressure box off?
Oof. I don't think I could handle a box off in this scenario. I'd rather someone made a decision on this. Just the idea of a box. Oh, you've got a cut. Good night.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It is kind of a...
They used to say the Olympic trials for American sprinters was tougher than actually then going and winning medals at the Olympics. That's what it's like in women's boxing now at the moment. That's all. Speaking of which, by the way, will you just... do you not see what I have beside you there?
Sorry,
I've got a new punch bag in the corner. Just start wailing on that punch bag I got for you in the corner.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, okay.
Beautiful.
That's the hang of it now, actually.
I know, but corkscrew uppercuts are grand, Murph, but mix it up a bit. Jabs, hooks. Could you maybe try a feint?
I'm a Harold Graham man. You know me, Ewan. Is that the man's name? I think it is.
Why are we going through these ridiculous shenanigans? Well, it's because we've got some pairs of tickets to give away to our live show this Thursday night with, great work, Murph, with the gold medal machine, Kelly Harrington, in Windmill Lane in Dublin 2, Town Hall, Windmill Lane. You'll also get your copy of her autobiography, Kelly. I'm reading it at the moment, and it's absolutely fantastic stuff. Kelly has been working with Booker Prize winning author Roddy Doyle for this one. We guarantee a fun evening as part of this year's Dublin Book Festival. Will we have Murph hitting the punch bag in the background for the entirety of the performance?
Oh.
Actually, can you move on to the speedball there, Murph?
Oh, yeah. I'm my speed works better.
Speedball.
Speedball, mate.
Is that what it's called?
I believe so, yes. I mean, I'm not up to date on the lingo, but I can punch the crap out of a speedball.
That's just one of those things. One of those cases where the same word can mean different things.
That's it, Murph. Slow it down. Beautifully done. To be with a chance of heading along with a plus one, email us at editor@secondcaptains.com and tell us what question you would like to ask Kelly at the show. We'll choose the best ones. Just put Kelly in the subject line of the email, please. And that's editor@secondcaptains.com. That show is going to start on Thursday night, 7 p.m. Doors open at 6:30. And the venue address is 1 WML, Windmill Lane, Windmill Quarter, Dublin 2.
Oh, the Windmill District.
I think that's somewhere around the Windmill District there in Dublin 2.
Did someone say Windmill?
I can't wait for the chat with Kelly.
There will also be a bar.
Simon.
So doors open 6:30. There will also be a bar.
Excellent.
And people can take their drinks to watch Kelly
as
you guys chat.
That's going to be available to members on Friday, that chat. Also on the World Service this week, all our Champions League coverage. You can sign up on secondcaptains.com for €5 a month plus VAT. Tomorrow, this is why Simon's here, Shane Horgan and Andrew Trimble are going to be together for the first time this season to talk about Leinster's win against Munster at the weekend. Give us a little taster, Si. What are we going to be talking about tomorrow? Munster beaten, but, well, they were also bowed, I suppose.
Yeah.
But beaten, and yet they impressed a lot of people with their performance.
Yeah, the fact that they were even in the game, I think, probably surprised most people, given the amount of injuries they had, how young and light the starting pack was. We'll talk about the Jean Klein yellow card for starters. One of those instances where it's basically impossible to say what the right punishment is, if any. Mm-hmm. For those that didn't see it, so the Leinster winger Jamie Osborne gathers the ball, then chips it high and short. And then Klein, who's obviously massive, jumps to block it, doesn't really come close to the ball. And he's kind of jumping forward as well as high towards Jamie Osborne. Osborne kind of has a millisecond to avoid it or to change direction. Maybe not even a millisecond, but he doesn't do anything. He runs straight into Klein. And Klein is landing on him at the same time as connecting with his head. And his elbow kind of connects with Osborne's head, but Osborne also sort of collapses in half and his ankle gets trapped under his body. It's one of those horrible sort of multi-collision situations. Osborne apparently isn't in great nick, according to Leo Cullen, who isn't happy with the yellow card judgment on it. But if it was foul play, and I watched it back like 20 times on Twitter, and the wide shot and the narrow shot and all that, if it was foul play, then it was judged like to such perfection by Klein that it's actually hard for the ref to know what to do. And
what do you mean it's judged by to such perfection by Klein?
Well, just the timing. If he did have any intent behind the jump or the landing, there were such milliseconds in it that it would be hard for you to say Klein did anything wrong.
But it's not about intent, isn't it?
Yeah,
the whole
exactly,
thing. It's about duty of care and these sorts of things.
This is the other thing. But if you leap for a ball and he's the one in the air, not Jamie Osborne, you know, so he's basically landing. He's letting gravity take its course. But also the way he connects with Osborne, you could argue he could have handled himself a little bit better and not made his gigantic 18 stone frame such a weapon. But that is seriously up for debate and really hard to argue. And it's almost either, if you think it was reckless, then it's a red card. Or you just think Klein did his best to block, landed on Jamie Osborne. Osborne could have maybe done slightly better to avoid the collision, and it's not even a penalty. But the way Osborne looked afterwards, and the way, like, duty of care really is where it comes down to. And is there time even for Jean Klein to weigh that up? Probably not. And it's just, I think it's one of those where if you're saying with complete confidence which way you think it should have gone, you're kind of bullshitting a bit, because how can you say in a moment like that? There's just certain moments in sport where you can't say either
way. Is that not the case with a lot of these instances that we've seen over the year? I'm interested, because you normally weigh on the side of being more caution, you know, more caution based about it, in that you
especially
normally
with the head,
anything around the head. There, it ends up with an elbow to the head, like an elbow sort of to the top of the head, which looks pretty bad, to be honest with you. So why is this one different from a ton of the other stuff we've seen along these lines? That you, I don't want to say you always say it should be a red card, but if you're trying to clean rugby up, make it as safe as it possibly can be, is this not the kind of tackle that needs to be a red?
Because when you're already midair, you don't have much control over your body. And Klein's actions were sort of in the natural course. It's what you'd expect a player to do. But at the same time, it's hard to know, but maybe he could have done more to not make such an impact on Jamie Osborne. But then the other thing is, maybe the greater good of the game, Jamie Osborne's gone off with a bad injury, a HIA. You give the red card because in an instant like this, You don't have an option. Like if you saw the Bundiaki one a few weeks ago, where he did the clear out and then he argued with the ref afterwards. And that was a reckless one where he had loads of time to come in and judge what he wanted to do. But he's saying to the ref, what part of the body am I supposed to clear out? There's nothing there for me to clear out. And Bundy made contact with the head. In that situation, he has time, Bundy, to know what his options are. And you just let the ball go. And maybe Jean Klein just goes, by me jumping here, there's a chance I land on Jamie Osborne. But maybe it's just, if this action leads to a head collision, I just don't even start it. So there is no clear out sometimes. There is no leap sometimes. You just have to accept that you've lost this situation because of the way the laws have gone, the way they've gone.
It's just an inch away from there not being a major problem if it's just the way the elbow lands on the head. If another part of his arm hit him, maybe, and it is, we could be a while talking about this. Munster, generally, I think, as I said, we're fairly impressive in defeat.
Yeah, the other interesting thing was how well the two fullbacks played. So it was Frawley for Leinster and Crowley for Munster, who are both obviously relatively inexperienced, even at out half, never mind fullback. But they might just be the next two out halves fighting to back up Sexton, because Joey Carberry went off with a shoulder injury. As we record, we haven't got an update on exactly how bad that is. Mm-hmm. But with what looks like Billy Burns out of favour, Jack Carty out of favour, with Harry Byrne injured, with Ross Byrne's lack of speed and dynamism and the way last season ended for him, the fact that Crowley and Frawley make things happen, that appeals to Andy Farrell and Cat. That's what he looks for. He loves athletes, people who break the gain line, explosive, exciting players, basically.
Shane and Trimble, both explosive and exciting.
In their own right.
Rugby.
Their punditry, every bit as much as their previous incarnation as actual rugby players.
Will be on the World Service tomorrow. Thanks, Simon. Get back behind your desk there and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Can do.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
All that wins. fitted today. Bakaraki, change of direction. Stockdale. Now the race is on. The bounce is Stockdale.
Ireland have turned up tonight and they have come out with something special. A lovely switch play of the tail of the line out. It went back to Stockdale, who still had a lot of work to do. There's the switch. Aki. Stockdale, it's him and Aaron Smith, he gets the bounce, still had a bit to do to get.
The 80 minutes is up, Ireland by 16 to 9, having to defend, having to get back on side, back here for New Zealand. TJ Perenara got us that one. TJ Perenara with the kick, moves it to Moonga. It's knocked down by Bloody McCulloch, the referee has blown the full-time whistle. Ireland has beaten New Zealand.
I have seen every single thing I want to see at a rugby match at dear old Lansdowne Road.
Bodhi Rattala drops it cold! It's over! It's over! Ireland! Ireland defeat the All Blacks for the first time on home soil! World number two knocks off world number one! What a test match!
One more story that broke last night. Rory McIlroy is the number one golfer in the world again. Back on top of the rankings for the first time since the summer of 2020 after retaining his CJ Cup title for his third win of the year on the PGA Tour. As always, wearing his heart on his sleeve, McIlroy was a little emotional when talking afterwards about how much this meant.
It means a lot. I've worked so hard over the last 12 months to get myself back to this place. Feel like I'm enjoying the game as much as I ever have. I absolutely love the game of golf, and I think that, you know, when I go out there and I play with that joy, you know, it's definitely showed over these last 12 months. But it feels awesome. You know, I'm looking forward to celebrate with my team tonight and, you know, the next couple of weeks, because I think it's a big achievement. I'm really proud of myself right now, and I want to go and enjoy this. I'd never feel like I've figured this game out. I don't think I ever will figure it out, but every day I wake up trying to get closer.
That's Rory McIlroy. You can say a lot of things about the emergence of LIV Golf, but it sure has sharpened McIlroy's focus.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it has. I mean, he's just played out of his skin ever since he decided that he was going to take on. I mean, it just goes to show, like, we know so little about what actually is a distraction and what isn't in the minds of sports people, you know? Like, Rory decided to take on, like, 15 of his compatriots in an extremely public spat, which has no...
Compatriots?
I mean, it's like his peers on the PGA Tour, you know? And he decided to take all of those guys on and become kind of the face of the PGA Tour when his play didn't necessarily merit him taking on that role. I mean, there were plenty of other players playing as well as Rory McIlroy. Not plenty, but, you know, 10, 12 other players who were playing as well as Rory McIlroy and could have taken this on. McIlroy does it, takes all that pressure on board, and his play just gets better and better and better. It's a really weird thing to think about. You know, this, well, there's only one way to be a sports person, and that is to be like unbelievably selfish with your time, unbelievably selfish with what you care about in your life, and focus on that one thing, the one thing, your sport, nothing else, to the detriment of personal relationships, relationships inside your sport, outside your sport. Focus on that, nothing else matters. McIlroy's year puts the lie to that entirely. But it is, I mean, another thing that LIV Golf obviously also did was remove some of the other competitors for the world number one.
Yeah, spot. I mean, a lot of the other guys near the top of those rankings are not names that... It's very good for golf that Rory McIlroy is the one who's taking this on and also is the one who's playing the best golf and, if not winning majors, being in the shake-up for majors and is the world's number one golfer, because there's a good few very unexciting names in Absolutely. And around there, aside from the guys who've gone off to LIV Golf. It's actually the ninth time he's been world number one, going all the way back to March 2012. I was looking at this, trying to figure out when he first got there. He was only 22 at the time, had one major at that stage, but had so much. There was so much already. He'd won his major previous to that. He'd had his Masters meltdown the year before. There was so much in Rory McIlroy's story, even at the point of getting to world number one. He was the second youngest player ever to make it there, behind the obvious Tiger Woods. Interesting, he did at the Honda Classic that time. to go top. He was, I think he was ahead going into the final round. He was definitely miles ahead of Tiger Woods, but Woods posted the best final round of his USPGA Tour career, an 8-under-62 to get really close to McIlroy. Wow. McIlroy ended up winning the tournament, but you could just, there's something in Woods there going, oh,
that well, that's, well, I mean, to be fair, that's a much better way to go world number one than at the CJ Open in October.
Yeah. Well, hang on a second. What's a bad way to get the world number one?
Is, and I'm being very cynical today, Owen. I'm sorry. I should apologise.
Kimber Croak's not getting their due. Rory McIlroy not getting his due. I suppose he only finished second, third, fifth and eighth in the majors.
Yeah,
he does need to win one of those.
There's certainly one way of looking at it, Owen. None of those numbers are actually first, but in another way, that's pretty good. That's four pretty good performances.
Ken has a lot more to say in the football podcast today.
What about my story here?
Go on.
I've got a story for you.
Oh, please. Hold on. Hold up.
Yeah.
I was wondering why you're so quiet up to now. You're just working away on a story.
I was looking at my email and there's a story in there.
Go on.
Press release, FAI statement, Jack Sports Distributors Limited, the Football Association of Ireland can confirm that it has today terminated its sponsorship agreement with Jack Sports Distributors Limited. In accordance with the terms of the agreement, the FAI would like to thank Jack Sports for all the support of the association over the years and wishes it all the best in the future. The association respects the confidentiality of the parties and will not be making any further comment on this matter. So,
what's this all about?
You're like, what's it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a sports equipment.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, why is no one making any further comment on this deal?
Well, it seems as though this means a new kit deal for the FAI because Jack Sports are the guys who distribute Umbro and New Balance, who we had briefly. I mean, Ireland have had an Umbro kit since 1994, and it appears no more. This deal was for 6 years, it was expiring in 2026, so they've terminated it 2022, and are not saying why exactly.
Mm.
I mean, at a guess, maybe they've got a better offer. I mean, that's a kind of a crazy guess. I mean, maybe I'm optimistic. Maybe we're just going to, you know, play in Penny's t-shirts. I don't know. will we be more successful at getting a kit supplier than we have been at getting a kit sponsor?
Maybe it's all coming together. Maybe there's a big announcement all coming together. Who knows?
It could be. It could be. I mean, obviously we qualified for the World Cup next year. Maybe that's going to be a kit bonanza. I mean, the women's team already does have a kit sponsor, Sky.
Mm.
But yeah, so that's basically it. That news, although they don't say it, I think means that that Ireland will now have a new kit manufacturer. Which, I mean, given that Jack Sports, I mean, I'm not sure who they hold the licenses for, but obviously Umbro and New Balance are there. I mean, if you look at their website, they've also got the brands they also include are like Nike Team, Converse, Under Armour. Hummel. So, you know, I can see a few kind of well-known manufacturers there. I don't know if it means that all of those are ruled out. I don't know exactly what this story means. I just thought I'd bring that piece of information that was emailed to me by the FAI.
Thanks, Ken.
Thanks, Owen.
Thanks, Murph.
And so your email there.
Let's have a look here. There's usually nothing really worth looking at.
Nah, that'll do. Asher, listen, one story a day in your email and you're doing all right, Ken, if you ask me.
It's just all this nonsense.
I'm just Gurma, good to Ken.
Thanks for listening. We do hope you sign up on secondcaptains.com. If so, we will talk to you tomorrow. Remember, all episodes will be ad-free if you become a World Service member. And Second Captains is part of the, what is it again? The
Acast
Creator
Network. I forgot the middle word. The Acast Creator Network.
Which phone is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
The second captain's world service.
It is not war and death and famine. It's not that at all. It's the opposite of that. It's the persuasion of the world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.